We are so glad you could join us today. We believe that God has a word for you, and every time the word of God is spoken, it does not return to him void without accomplishing everything he has sent it out to achieve. Our prayer for you today is that as you listen to this word, may the Spirit of the Lord quicken it into rhema, and may he help you to catch what it is that he would say to you today. God bless you.
Today, let's deal with the reality. Amen. The presence of the Lord in this place is so strong, and it feels so holy in this place, and it's a challenge to minister in that kind of an atmosphere, because you almost feel like you're going to chase away the presence of the Lord by what you do or say. And being in between the apostle and the prophet is an experience, I tell you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Should we start with 2 Corinthians? Let's start with Genesis chapter 6. In dealing with the reality of the supernatural, we're going to deal with visions. We're going to deal with visions. I don't know whether we are going to make that a subtitle or... And it came to pass when, verse 1, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto men, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men and that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, key verse, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that also, for that he also is flesh. Very important statement. He also is flesh. Also means that he's not really flesh, but he also, now there is an addition, is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 27. And we are going to read from verse 9. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, says, very important, I perceive, please say with me, I perceive. Yes, please say it one more time. I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. You're not even a fisherman. You know nothing about ship. You know nothing about weather. You're not a weatherman. What are you going to tell us? Says, I perceive. Hallelujah. I want to start by saying that in being born again, having been born again, there has to be an appreciation in our hearts and in our minds of the reality of the realm of the spirit, of the supernatural realm. There is more to life than what we see with our eyes. There is more to reality than what we see with our eyes. Paul tells us that the things that we don't see with our eyes were created. The things that we see with our eyes were created by things that we don't see. And the Bible also tells us that the things that we don't see are eternal, and the things that we see with our eyes are temporal. What that means is what you see with your eyes is subject to change. Doesn't matter the condition that you are in today, it is subject to change. Love, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where the Bible says that this light affliction is only but for a moment, and it is not worth to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And many times when we go through challenges in life, it would seem as though it's a whole year or it's forever. But the Bible tells us it's a light affliction for a moment. And so because of the few verses I've given you, I think you have the right to look at the person sitting next to you and tell them, this is the last time you are seeing me like this. Because I'm changing right in front of your eyes. Yeah, change, amen. Paul also tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe that, I think it's chapter 12, yep, where he says that I know of a man who was caught up in the third heavens. There are then going to be three realms that we interact with at any given point in time when we deal with the supernatural. Number one, it is the obvious atmosphere that is above us. Number two, it is what I have intended to call the realm of the spirit, for particularly our teaching this evening, and of course the heaven of heavens where the throne of God is and where God dwells. In the second heavens, that's where we have the formulation of different things that dominate nature. If you read in the book of Daniel, the Bible says that you are going to be subjected to behaving like an animal for 7 years until you know that the heavens rule on the earth and upon the kingdom of men. Anything that comes out of the realms of the spirit rules on Mother Earth. Hallelujah. Amen. You can never be able to compete with a man who has supernatural assistance in what he does, if you are natural. And I would like to say that ideally, it would be true to say that a demon-possessed individual is more spiritual than a born-again man who is not Holy Ghost-filled. Because we have an incident at some point in time in the book of John chapter 4, a woman coming to Jesus saying, in fact, it's Jesus who comes to the woman, it's the woman who comes to Jesus who is sitting on the well, and Jesus says, give me something to drink, and she says, no, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. And then she asks a pertinent question, says, are you greater than Jacob, who dug this well for us? Because it had been after some conversation. Then she asks the question, are you greater than Jacob, asking Jesus? Can you imagine? But there's another portion of scripture where the Bible says, while he was still far off, the demoniac in Gadarene shouted and said, Son of God. Hallelujah. And so you have a Samaritan woman who is asking him, who are you? Are you greater than Jacob? A demon-possessed fellow was able to tell who he was from afar. Hallelujah. So it's not enough just to be in church. You need to be filled with the Spirit, and not only filled with the Spirit, but we must grow in appreciating the realm of the Spirit and the reality thereof. It is amazing sometimes, I'm just laying a foundation, it's amazing sometimes to really think of the things that we see happening in the physical that show us the reality of the spirit and the realm of the spirit. And many times people wait for the negative for them to believe that the realm of the spirit exists. Would you imagine a person who says there is no God but believes that there are demons? Or has seen demons manifest and they've said that's a demon, but when you try then to convince them that there is a God and there is someone called the Holy Spirit, they find it very difficult to receive. In Africa, where people are very superstitious, they'll be very afraid when they are told, you will see. You, I promise you, you will see. They believe that there is supernatural power in the negative. But there is supernatural power in the positive. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Let's establish something here that we need to agree on. The realm of the spirit, the second realm, is open for everybody. Negative or positive, by that I mean evil and holy. Witch doctors and witches and wizards don't operate from this realm of nature. They operate from the realm of the spirit. But that realm of the spirit is not only open for you or for them only. It's open for them and for us. We are supposed to access it. In actual fact, we are born into that realm. The Bible tells us that we are born of the Spirit of God. That's John chapter 1 and verse 12. Have you ever read the scripture that says that angels rejoice when one soul is saved? And I've always thought of it like a labor ward of heaven where in the realm of the spirit, a baby is born, and they that are of that world also come to say congratulations. The way we go to hospital, here on the physical earth, because one like them is born, then they go to the hospital to congratulate. But in the realm of the spirit, when one like they is born, they also go to congratulate. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor, tell them, I'm spirit. Here is the second aspect to my teaching. That I want us to grasp quickly. The human being is in three. We have the physical, which is the flesh. We have the spirit, and we have the mind. We don't access the realm of the spirit with our flesh. We cannot. The Bible tells us that the natural man cannot be able to receive the things of the spirit because they are spiritually discerned. And so when you get born again and remain in the realm of the physical only, you will not be able to access the deeper things and the greater things of God, hence the conference that we have here. I trust with all my heart that by the time we are finishing this conference, somebody will be somewhere with the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Let me bring the third aspect to my teaching as we continue. The mind is very important to every born again person. I want to make a statement that I almost think could be a little bit controversial, in the sense that true spirituality and or faith is actually not a spiritual thing; it's actually a psychological thing. Faith, more than spirit, it is psychological in this sense. It is a question of whether your mind will or will not receive the voice of God and accept it. Because the governor to all things that you do is not necessarily your spirit, it's your mind. Now, when the Bible says that this person is a person, or when the Bible says that there's a flesh man and there's a spirit man, the fleshness of man is not necessarily the body. The fleshness of man is this mind. And the spirituality of man as well is not just spirit, it is also the mind. Where you spend your time the most is what your mind is going to be. And that is what your mind is going to sanction the more. Your spirit man has no problems with God. You are born again. You are born of God. He has no problems relating with God. But your mind has problems sometimes. I'll give you a very simple example. Let us suppose out there, there are meat pies and there are DVDs for sale. Preaching. You have $5 exactly. The meat pie is going for $5. The DVDs are going for $5. When you go out there, your spirit man wants the DVDs. Your body wants the meat pie. But no matter how much the spirit man wants the DVDs, if the mind is developed more in the area of the flesh, even though you will go to heaven and you love God, you will still go for the meat pie. Hallelujah. Depending on who has been developed in your life. And the development, the question of who gets developed in your life depends on where you spend your time the most. Your mind is going to take the same shape of what you spend your time on. I remember when we were kids, back home, growing up, my father would have us pray in the evening and would kneel down on the sofa in prayer. And my father would take some time to pray. Sometimes it would wind up for 5 to 10 minutes. This would be like 8 o'clock in the evening. By the time he says amen, we are all falling asleep. We're finished. So they have to wake us up. And when they wake us up, they switch on the television and Mr. T is playing or Knight Rider or something like that. The same people who had fallen asleep will be awake for the next 1 hour. The question is not necessarily in the spirit. The question is in the mind. Amen. Ask your neighbor, who is developed in your life? It's amazing how we spend more time developing things that have got nothing to do with the spirit. Let me show you Colossians chapter 3. The book of Colossians is in the New Testament. Chapter 3. And we're going to start reading from verse 2. Set your affection, the other version says, set your minds on things that are above and not things that are on the earth. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, they do mind the things of the spirit. I love verse 6. Let's just read 6 and 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is an enemy of God. I discovered that enemies of God are not out there in the bar or in the nightclub. They are in church. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God. What is a carnal mind? A carnal mind, brother, let me just first of all define what a carnal man is. There is a natural man, there is a carnal man, there is a spiritual man. A natural man is a man who is not born again. A carnal man is a born again man who thinks naturally. That man is an enemy of God. Because his mind does not agree with what his spirit is. There is something antagonistic within himself. Have you ever read the Bible, say, the Bible in the book of 1 Timothy, where Paul teaches Timothy, he says, help those who fight themselves. How do you fight yourself? You fight yourself by being something that you are not. Hallelujah. Look here, I'm a spiritual man. For they that are in the flesh mind the things of the flesh. Hallelujah. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we get born again, the struggle is to develop our minds so that our minds can appreciate the things of the Spirit and take the shape of the things of the Spirit. The book of Genesis chapter 6, where we read, as a form of introduction, talks of the people on the face of the earth who the Bible tells us that in multiplying and increasing in number, the Bible says that God discovered that they were also flesh. Then immediately says they were giants in the earth. Now, there's a theological way of interpreting that these were angels. That's what theologians will tell you. I'm not here to explain theology, but I'm here to explain something from a revelatory point of view. When the Bible says that there were giants on the earth, the appreciation that we need to catch is the fact that man initially, when God created him in the book of Genesis, was not necessarily flesh. He was spirit living in a body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that our bodies are our clothes. They are our tent. We are spirit. But our bodies are our clothing. That's why God never gave Adam clothes. Because as far as heaven is concerned, when somebody has a body, they are dressed. But in the development of the flesh over, because of sin, Adam discovered he was naked. And the Bible says, my spirit will not continue to strive with men. As long as the flesh continues to grow, the Holy Spirit finds a big battle. As long as the flesh is elevated, as long as the flesh is promoted, as long as the flesh is being driven ahead of the things of the spirit, there is a continuous strife. And the Bible says, my spirit will not continue to strive with men because man is also flesh. And then the Bible says, there were giants in the earth. You know, there's a place where the flesh becomes giant in your life, a giant in your life. When the flesh becomes a giant in your life, there is nothing of the spirit that you can receive. There are people who have been in the house of the Lord but allowed the flesh to grow while they were in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. And over years, you find them grumpy. They are seated at the back of the church. They used to sit in front, but now they sit at the back of the church, discouraging everybody else who is trying to get a spiritual experience with God. We've been in this thing, man. We fell also when we came into church. We cried. We know this crying business. You will cry, and after some time, you're going to be like us. Guess what? You developed the wrong thing in your life. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, let me declare and say this to you. There is no moment that we're in the presence of the Lord and nothing happens. Whether you feel nothing or you feel something, even if you don't feel anything, there is something divine that takes place when you are in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Somebody said to me, they were speaking to one of the members of our church and saying, I'm no longer coming to church. I feel we've reached the roof. You reach the roof by yourself. Hallelujah. We still sense the presence of God. Hallelujah. We still sense the power of God. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We still long for a deeper experience in God. And as long as you are like that, there is no roof. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, what are you developing? The flesh grows, brothers and sisters. And you know, can I quickly say this? The flesh is amazing because we have a young man called David who the Bible says is a young man after my own. Growing up pure in heart, the Bible says he got to a stage where this flesh was so developed in his life. He saw Bathsheba bathing. Then if you read it carefully, the Bible says he asked, whose woman is that? They said, that woman is Uriah's wife. If it was today's day, they showed him a ring and a marriage certificate. He said, bring her to me. We said, she has a ring. Bring her to me. I do not for one moment think that there was never a stage in David's life where he considered that talking to somebody else's wife was wrong or having somebody else's wife was wrong. But there's a place in your life that if you don't deal with the flesh, it continues to grow until the things that you saw wicked become normal. I'm telling you, you can get to that place where you're even looking for scriptures now to defend the wrong things that you used to do, that you do. I remember with Bishop Spanger here, we used to be very, very, very extremely radical and extremely holy. There's a statement that my mouth is not for proposing. My mouth is for worshiping and preaching the gospel and prayer only. Thank God today we have wives. Amen. But we had this level of radicalness and holiness. It was impure to stand with a sister for 5 minutes. What? You would be called for questioning. Hallelujah. Will you explain yourself? What was the conversation? Oh, glory to his name. I will not tell you further, but there were worse things that we did until the Lord helped us. But in the light of that, there's a young man in our church that impregnated some lady, and he was part of the leaders, and so we had to discipline him. But this is what happened. He visited his girlfriend. She stays in one room, and he went into the room, and then the electricity went. In Zimbabwe, we have power cuts. And so, for me, the question was, how did you stay in that young lady's house until that late? Because he says, and then, Pastor, it was very impossible for us to walk home, for me to walk home without power. There's no electricity, so I had to stick around until electricity came. You see, when the flesh develops, you find flimsy reasons. Not only do you find flimsy reasons, you also get comfortable in the place that you're not supposed to be comfortable. You find yourself comfortable doing the things that you're not supposed to be comfortable. You remember yourself the way you were in the first days you gave your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. It felt like Jesus is coming back tomorrow. Amen. There was certain music that was illegal, certain movies that were illegal, certain things that you would never do, certain places you would never go. How come today you can be comfortable and sit around and enjoy what you used to think was taboo? Something is growing. Something is maturing. Something is developing. And you know what it's called? It's called the flesh. And the more this thing continues to grow, the more it continues to sear your hearing. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to his name. Paul says that I perceive. You see, that level of perception comes when the spirit man is sharp, when the flesh is less. I want to submit to you, if you read in the book of Numbers chapter 12, we are getting to the cream of what we want to touch, and then we're going to pray. Here to Numbers chapter 12, the Bible says when Aaron and Miriam were complaining about Moses smearing a black woman, the Bible says that God called them, said, come here. Why are you talking about my servant? Is it not that I've given you other prophets that you could easily talk about and not get in trouble? But this one here, I speak to him face to face. And he says, other ordinary prophets, I speak to them in visions, in dreams, and in dark speeches. Moses has seen the similitude of the Lord. Were you not afraid to talk to him, to talk about him? You are in trouble. Now, those three, four, give us the levels of how God is going to deal with us depending on what is more developed. Usually, when the flesh is more developed, you are in the realm of dreams. Dreams work because when you are asleep, the flesh is inactive. God cannot speak to you awake because you are so busy with fleshly things, he cannot get to you. He has to wait for the place and the time when the flesh is inactive and it is asleep. That's why many people have stronger spiritual experiences when they are sleeping. But the more we develop in our spirit, oh yeah, kasamba ndahaya, we are going somewhere, hallelujah. The more we develop in our spirits, we come to higher realms of communication with the realm of the spirit. We come to higher realities of communication with the Holy Spirit, amen, and with the spirit realm. We come to higher realities. Oh, glory to his name. I submit to you, brothers and sisters, that there are certain levels of God's power and levels of God's grace that have not come our way because we are basically fleshly. We are still fleshly and we are not yet ready for them and wouldn't be able to stand them even when they were to come. For an example, the Bible says that God came down on Mount Sinai and the people that had talked to Moses and said, you lied to us. You tell us that you're with God for 40 days, leaving us alone here. We want to see this God. He came, bruh. And the Bible says it was after 3 days of bathing. Hey. The Bible says when he came, they said, Moses, tell God that we are sorry. Let him go back to heaven. We can't stand him anymore.
Oh, glory to his name. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that the experience with God can get cheekier and cheekier and cheekier and cheekier until those that are fleshly cannot stand it. I will never forget an experience that I had when the time that I met my wife. I was still a young man then and she was still a student. I'd gone to preach somewhere at some school called Mpopoma High School. I got there, I shared for 15 minutes. A strong presence of God came. I was not a mighty man of God, and I don't think I am yet. But what happened that day shocked me. Children tried to fit through the door, one door. 50 children trying to run away as the presence of God came down strong. I remember how we carried many of them out of the admin block as they could not go home. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we are entering a zone in the realm of the Spirit where the glory of God will manifest and people will see supernatural things. Oh God, Australia has not seen anything yet. In fact, the universe has not seen anything yet. God is not allowing us to go home out this way. We are checking out in style. If the devil thinks that he has taken over the world, let him forget it. God is raising up a generation of men and women of no compromise who will not allow the flesh to grow in their lives. Men and women of the Spirit, my God, who when they stand in a place to declare that God is here, heaven will literally open and sinners will come down and say, brethren, help us. What do we do that we may be saved? Aya, you have to believe that we are going there. You have to believe that that grace is upon us now. You have to believe that heaven is opening upon us now. It's our season and it's our time that we penetrate the realms of the Spirit. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, I think we are going somewhere. I perceive that this journey is going to be tricky. How do you know, Paul, you are not a fisherman? I'm not using mathematics. I'm not using the weather. I'm not using biology. I'm not using geography. Away with your weather instruments. It's fine. You have interpreted the weather. It's fine. You're good in navigating a ship. I'm not using any of those things. I've just entered into the realms of the Spirit and I've seen what is about to happen and what is coming ahead in the future. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 54 verse 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now there is somebody who forms weapons and he forms them at a certain venue. That venue is called the realm of the Spirit. And so what Paul did is he went into the realm of the Spirit to see that in the coming days there's a weapon that is being formed against this ship. He comes down with the information and lets it know to natural men, and natural men look at the calculator, ha ha, they look at the weather, ha ha, they look at the instruments that they have around themselves of safety, and they think they will be fine. Never refuse when a man who has gone into the realm of the Spirit is telling you, regardless of what you have around you physically. No, I'll tell you something. Apostle Nyati started building the 12,000 seater in the strangest time in Zimbabwe where people were buying water. Now, when we say buying water, it sounds like paying at the city council. No, literally going to buy it in tanks. There was no water in the country. Not only was there no water in the country, there were billions of dollars in terms of Zim dollars. Would give an offering and would fill up the altar with offering, and that offering couldn't buy anything. And that's the time that we started doing the building. And when the announcement came to us in Mashingo that we are starting, I thought to myself, what? I think I'm going to change this church. This man that's leading us here. No. Now! Hallelujah. All glory to his name. I think the world can be better run by supernatural people than natural people. There are four levels of visions I want to share with you. First level, visions of the mind. When your spirit man begins to develop, you will here and there have something called visions of the mind. I call them visions of the mind. Visions of the mind are flashes through your mind of divine thoughts that come from the Spirit of the Lord. Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And he also says that be renewed in the spirit of your minds.
Our minds are very important when we come to the realm of the spirit, as we'll continue to study probably tomorrow. Many times when you ask, when as we develop, the Spirit of the Lord will speak to us through our minds. Show us pictures through our minds. For an example, I discovered that many times the ideas and the thoughts and strategies that we have received for our ministry, I receive them when I pray in tongues, and they come in as thoughts. And you can tell that the thought is from God by checking it with the Word of God. Suppose you are seated here in church and you feel, and a thought comes to you, go and drink beer. It's obvious that thought is not from God. Because it doesn't line with the Word of God. But you can be seated there, and a thought crosses your mind, give $50,000. Yeah. Me and my wife have given about 4 or 5 cars. And no audible voice, loud voice came and said, "My son." No, it just came in as a thought. Hallelujah. And many times, when you grow in sensitivity, you don't allow those thoughts just to pass through. You ask yourself, why I thought this? How could this thought come through my mind? It's not normal. How can you think of giving your car? How can you think of witnessing to somebody? Why? Why would that thought come through your mind? I mean, we're in a world where everybody should mind their own business. Why should you think of that? Hallelujah. Why should you think of praying for me? Why? Why? You've got enough problems of your own, don't you? Why should I come to your mind? I'm all the way in Africa there. And all of a sudden when you wake up and you're praying and I just come into your mind, why? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to his name. Tell your neighbor the mind. There are many thoughts that come from the Spirit of God that you may overlook, but are actually thoughts that come from God. Hallelujah. And the more you learn and develop yourself in that area, then God begins to trust you with a higher level. Here is the second level. I'm trying to move quickly so that we can find some time just to pray, some few minutes. Visions in part. Visions of the mind and visions in part. Visions in part. What are visions in part? Visions in part are when you see similitude. You are seeing in part. You are seeing dark speeches. Sometimes you don't have the full interpretation of what you're seeing. And we're going to see this happening during the conference. I want you just to be very careful for it. We are preaching with my wife in Namibia for Pastor Svande. And during praise and worship team, during praise and worship, I saw one microphone like this, eh? There was smoke coming out of the microphone. I looked at that microphone, I thought, is the microphone burning? How could the microphone burn? And in my mind, I know there's no direct current that goes to microphones. And I looked, as I continued to look, I saw some smoke, the drummer was playing the drums, I saw some smoke coming out from under his throne. And I'm thinking, what is my mind playing games on me? It is only after some few seconds and moments that I really thought about it, I discovered, ooh, the presence of the Lord is in this place. And what a meeting we had. We are in a theater in Maswingo. Pastor Tani is preaching. And while he's preaching, I'm standing right in front. I look at the back of the theater. It's darkish. I look at the back of the theater. I kind of like saw as if I'm seeing beings on people's heads. And I thought, is my mind playing games with me? At that moment, I thought, no, maybe I'm seeing shadows or images or something like that. And then a thought came to me, how about you're seeing angels? And then I wrote on a small piece of paper. I put it on the pulpit so that Pastor Tani would see it as was ministering. I wrote, there are angels in this place. The moment he opened his mouth to declare that, there was chaos in the room. All out of a vision in part. Sometimes you'll see certain things and you think, did I see correctly? And many times when you're developed spiritually, it comes as a glimpse and it goes and it stops there. When it's ignored, it's gone. But if you follow it up, it may create a lead for the anointing to continue to increase. Hallelujah.
I submit to you, brothers and sisters, that in our lives here, we have had certain sights and visions of things that we saw, and we did not appreciate what it was, and we left it alone and ignored it, and thought it was my mind playing games with me, yet it was the Holy Spirit who wanted to lead you to something. We're in Bitebridge with Pastor C.S. Tuturu, and he's ministering on the Holy Spirit. Phenomenal thing happened. We are in a room like this, and there's absolutely no wind as far as weather is concerned. And besides, even if there was, the door that I want to refer to was an inside door like this one. It literally swung open on its own as though there was a large wind blowing it. When that door opened, I looked at it. Brothers and sisters, what I'm telling you is real. I saw within a split second as though there was a being that rushed in. I whispered to the guy that sat next to me, I said, did you see what I saw? He said, what? I said, the Lord just entered this room by that door. And you know, the moment you begin to think that way and accept it that way, something happens to you. Because the realm of the spirit, in essence, is with us 24/7. But it's our mind that then begins to appreciate what is about to happen or what is happening. When I said that the Lord started with me, I remember there was a very beautiful vase, a large one. I kicked it. As the power of God hit me, man, I kicked that thing. It flew in the air. And I was down like for an hour under the presence of the Lord. And you know, when I'm in that atmosphere, I'm not like one guy who's thinking, who is this guy preaching to us? I'm like, I saw the Lord come into the room. I saw a figure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I need to say something very important to us about the supernatural. We don't see to believe, but we believe in order to see. You have to believe. You have to believe. Because the introduction of the same may not necessarily be very dramatic and extra amazing. Sometimes it can just be simple. Simple. Very simple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I sense something beautiful is going to happen right here. Can I show you a verse? Should I show you this verse now? Yeah, let me show you this verse now. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 22. Okay, let's start from verse 21. Oh, verse 18. For you are not come unto that mount that might be touched and bent with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Verse 21. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Verse 22. But you are come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, and an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. Say to your neighbor, I am come to Mount Zion. Right now, brothers and sisters, if you can believe with me, we are come to Mount Zion. And seated amongst us here is an innumerable company of angels. You may not see them with your eyes, but it's reality. It's reality. The reality of spiritual beings or the invisible beings is as real as the person that is seated next to you as we are seated in this place. We are not only in Brisbane in some venue. We are actually in the heavenly realms right now. But you know what is going to happen? What is going to happen is that we're going to become more aware of it. Sometimes sight sees less than vision.
Sometimes you have to close your eyes for you to see. Hallelujah. This is a fellow who is a servant of the prophet who the Bible says that waking up, I don't know, he had gone to the loo or something. When he goes out, he finds that they are surrounded by a great army of the Syrians. He comes back to the prophet and says, "Prophet, we're in trouble." And when the prophet comes out, he sees something else that the guy didn't see. And then the prophet prays for him and says, "Lord, open the eyes of this young man that he may see." And the Bible says that he began to see chariots and chariots and chariots of heaven surrounding them. Hallelujah. He's that level of visions. Open visions. Open visions are when you see or you are in a trance. You're not seeing in part, you're not seeing in form, you are seeing reality. You're seeing what you are seeing. And what you're seeing is so real. I have not yet experienced this, but I'm looking forward to it. But I've met a lot of people who have had these experiences, and we might have them in this conference, so we must share about them so that somebody doesn't run away when they see it. I've known of people who met Jesus, literally. The guy tells you, "I saw Jesus, and I spent so much time with him," or, "I went to heaven." This is another realm. We are in a meeting some years ago, where this man of God is ministering, calls three ladies to stand before him, prays for them, they fall down under God's power. As they are down there, two of them get up, the other one is there for about 3 hours until the service was finished. And when she got up, she was like mesmerized, surprising. "Are we still here? Ah, we are still here." And we got surprised. "What are you talking about?" She says, "You will not believe what happened to me. I went to heaven." And she began to describe what she saw in heaven. It was so glorious. "That's the day I gave my life to Jesus. I said, wow. If heaven is that real, I'm going there. Amen." Hallelujah. And she says, "I am sad that I came back. I thought we are all gone. I'm shocked that all of you fellows are still here." Amen. And she was telling us of apples. I don't know if there are apples in heaven. The apples that she saw and the grass that she saw and how bluer the sky was than here and all those kind of things. But the point is, brothers and sisters, it is possible for you not to go to work on Monday. Having been caught up. Uh-oh. Doesn't sound like I want that. It's possible, brothers and sisters, just after this service to fail to go home. And we catch up with you here tomorrow morning. Having traveled with the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to his name. It's possible. It's possible. Look here in the opportunity of an open vision. And then the last one is called reality. Reality. Moses was not seeing a vision when he was seeing the burning bush. It was reality. When you come to the level of seeing in the spirit until it's reality, the body of an angel does not become an invisible body or a body that you can walk through. It becomes a real body that you can bump on. Huh? You can't, like now, there are angels all over this place. You can walk anywhere you want. Huh? Even if an angel is standing here, you may just walk past through the angel. But when it becomes reality, you can't walk through an angel. You literally feel a man standing and you bump on him and you feel, I bumped on something. Do you know that the body that Jesus Christ had when he rose up from the dead was a glorified body? But it was reality. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to his name. There is a level in the realm of the spirit, brothers and sisters, that I am so convinced that we will get to, where the realm of the spirit will become reality to us, where things of the invisible world will crystallize. Oh, glory to his name. Oh, glory to his name. Can I throw in something that's a little bit controversial and deep? This man, I was sharing with Pastor Spang, this man is standing on the pulpit.
He's looking for his stylus. You know the stylus? Yeah. And he realizes that he's been looking for this stylus for about 3-4 days. He couldn't find it. And so he has his pad here and his Bible here. Then something, a thought crosses his mind, close your Bible. He closes his Bible and silently goes in the name of Jesus. When he opens the Bible, the stylus is in the Bible. Uh-oh. You see, it's difficult to receive. It's difficult to receive. It's a sign of who's mature. I'm telling you, you know, many times we think, we pray and say, God, give us the anointing to raise the dead. Give us the anointing to raise the dead. Are we really ready? Are we really ready? I have a friend of mine who prayed for somebody. In fact, he didn't pray. He continued to minister and preach while a dead person had been brought to the front. This person came sick to the congregation. And so they were laid at the back there. Then they whispered to the man of God, that man of God, now, we have a lady here who's in a stretcher. She's sick, very sick. And because the guy has been moving so much in healing, he's excited. Bring the lady, bring the lady, bring the lady. And while she was still at the back there, she passed away. And fully proven that she's dead. Then they came and whispered to the man. Because he had kept on calling. Where is this lady that you're talking about? And he's feeling that. They said, sir, you know what? She's no longer sick. She's dead. You almost want to change your mind, amen. And that violent call for bringing it to the front, bringing it to the front, became very soft and tender and sober. Is she still there? All right, that's fine. Is she still there? If she's not there, that's fine. We'll go on with the service. And you know, they brought you to the front and lady. The man was so scared, 15 minutes into his sermon, the woman came back to life. The good part is he did not announce to the congregation that she's dead. If he had done that, and she rose up in front of them, hey, you know yourself, you, let's bring a coffin here and there's somebody dead there. Are you really ready? Reading a book by Catherine Coleman with my wife. She's ministering, and as she's ministering in the spirit, some people are suspended in the air. And I've thought to myself, God, am I ready for that kind of anointing? Will I be able to? And for us superstitious Africans, you know what the first thing we do? We subscribe to satanic work because we think the devil is more powerful than God. Anytime we see a higher manifestation of God's power, we are quick to think Satan is involved. But how many of us know that God is greater than the devil? In fact, the devil was not created by God. God created Lucifer. Something created the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to his name. I want to close by this as I come to a conclusion. How do we get into the realm of the Spirit? Where is the keyboard player? I want to show you something. Please come to us. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes, just play something. Something beautiful. Something beautiful. Play something. Something worship. I want you to close your eyes where you are. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And you lift up your hands to a comfortable position. Oh, God. Oh, God. Seko Bashata. Sikanda bayala bashandala bari. Hold on. Put your hands down and open your eyes.
How many of you felt the atmosphere change just with that 2 seconds? It was slowly beginning to change. It is not that the Holy Spirit was coming. No, the Holy Spirit wasn't coming. He's here. In fact, we don't have a verse that tells us that he left. He came in the book of Acts chapter 2, and he has been there since. So what was happening? The mind. I submit to you, brothers and sisters, to think of Lot, of Enoch, who the Bible says he walked with God, waking up on a daily basis to get out by himself and take a walk. If you read the book of Hebrews, it tells us that he did that by faith. That means there was nothing visible. I mean, I'm taking a walk with God. Where is he? Here, where? Here. Where? Here. He believed in that experience so much until it crystallized. It became real. The Bible says then God took him. In fact, the Bible says he was translated. Oh, God. Brothers and sisters, you can sit down all by yourself and appreciate the presence of the Lord around you and appreciate that he's here. And you allow your mind to receive the truth from the Word of God, because this is not a mind game. It's not some psychological counseling. It's the truth. It's the truth. The truth is the Word of God. Hallelujah. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, behold, I'm with you until the end of age. And so you sit down like that, right in the midst of challenges, and you say, I'm not going to focus on the challenge. I'm going to focus on the fact that the presence of the Lord is with me and he dwells with me. You wake up in the morning and you declare to yourself that I don't walk alone. I don't go alone. I am surrounded. Kanama sakaba. The Bible says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord encompass his people. Hallelujah. In whatever you do, you seek to sense the presence of the Lord. Glory to his name. I don't sing alone. I don't preach alone. I don't go anywhere alone. Amen. And when you arrive in that demon infested village of where you are coming from, when you get into that village, you don't get in that village with as a scared stiff Sam. You get in there knowing that there is somebody that I walk with. And the more you are conscious of that, the more you are aware of that, that experience begins to grow, and it will grow so much it will affect other people around you. Are you aware that the presence of the Lord is with you? Are you aware that the realm of the Spirit is real? Hallelujah. You can decide this evening to get in. How many people are going to get in? You can get in. You can get in. You can get in. Holy Spirit, we now ask you to open our eyes and our ears to hear the things that is happening in the realm of the Spirit. We know that right now there are worship songs that are moving in the realm of the Spirit. There are sounds that are happening in the realm of the Spirit. There are things that you are doing, like Jesus who says that the things that I see my Father do are the things that I do. It is tonight, Lord, that we long to perceive. We long to see. Rapture us today, I pray, into the realm of the Spirit. Let there be men and women today that will have a divine encounter, an experience, Lord, that they will forever live to tell. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus in this conference that there will be men and women, oh God, that there will be such an experience, Lord, that they'll be totally transformed, like Paul, who was riding to Damascus, and the Bible says the glory of the Lord appeared to him and he fell off a horse. Is it not Moses that you confronted, oh God, in the book of Exodus chapter 3, and he saw a burning bush? Is it not Isaiah who says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple? Is it not John, oh God, in the book of Revelation, who says that in the day of the Lord I was in the Spirit?
Take us there now, we ask you. Open our eyes, we ask you. Open our eyes, we ask you. I want you to pray in tongues for a few minutes with me. Just pray in tongues with me just for a few minutes. Thank you, Lord. Something awesome is happening here. You know, as you pray in tongues, I want your eyes to be closed. If you don't pray in tongues, that's fine. Pray in your mother language. But I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to focus on the realm of the Spirit. In a moment, what is going to happen in this place is that there's going to be a shift in the realms of the Spirit. And many of us, we are going to be aware of where we are. We are seated in the heavenly realms right now. Take us up, O God, in the Spirit. Shema kasata bahaya. Come on, pray with me, pray with me, pray with me, pray with me. But your eyes are closed and you're focused on the realm of the Spirit. You and I have to believe. You and I have to believe. You and I have to believe that the realm of the Spirit is real. That the supernatural world is real. May the Lord open your eyes to see who is seated next to you, who is standing next to you. May the Lord open up your eyes to hear in the realms of the Spirit today. Siko rabashata la bari ala bara mamra babo sakada. Rabo shante kere beri mamra baba sakata ra bara. Come on, church, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice where you are. 2 more minutes, 2 more minutes, 2 more minutes.